First, I want to thank all of you for your prayers this last week. I want to thank Todd Cola for his ministry last Sunday as well. Thank you, Todd, for filling in. If you want more information about Gideon's and what God is doing through the inerrant, inspired Word of God, the Gideons are involved in that ministry. I was in Seattle last week visiting my brother who has pancreatic cancer. They had originally given him about two months to live. Now they're extending it. He's in the middle of making decisions on treatment. Thank you for praying, and I pray that just continue to pray. There's been a little bit of a rebound, and one incredible miracle. There's been a reconciliation of a son to a father. So a miracle has already occurred in that family. My nephew and brother. So, thank you for that. A minister and a bus driver went to heaven. They arrived at the pearly gates at the same time. Saint Peter greeted them and met them and said he would like to give them a tour and guide them to their new homes. After walking on the golden streets for some time, they arrived at the home of the bus driver. It was a beautiful mansion with large, spacious rooms. Then the minister and St. Peter walked on a little further and finally stopped in front of a small one-bedroom bungalow. "This home is yours," Peter told the minister. The minister was somewhat taken aback by the contrast between the homes, so he asked St. Peter, "Why do I get such a small place while the bus driver got such a huge mansion? I preached the gospel. I preached my whole life." St. Peter replied, "When you preached, people fell asleep. When he drove the bus, people prayed." That's not a true story to my knowledge. It might be. But uses humor to illustrate a point. Prayer is important. Prayer is important. Prayer is so important that one high school posted this sign: "In the event of an earthquake or tornado, the Supreme Court ruling against prayer in public schools will be temporarily suspended." True, it's true. Of course, one of the great tragedies of taking prayer out of schools is that prayer is the only way most of us got through. But that's a whole other story. Prayer is important. How important is it? 2 Corinthians 10 talks about this. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." What is he talking about there? He's talking about the weapons we fight with, and he says they have divine power. And one of those weapons is prayer. Prayer. Now, why do we need weapons? Why do we need weapons? We are in a cosmic battle between right and wrong, between good and evil, and the battle is in the spiritual realm, but it works its way out in the physical realm. And if you thought this year's election was just in the physical realm, think again. Very clear demarcation between good and right, evil and good, right and wrong. Much prayer has to go into the battle for our country, indeed, our world. Does God endorse candidates? No. But he does endorse right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness. So what is prayer, and how does prayer work? Prayer has a lot of parts, and simply put, very simply, prayer is just talking with God. It's communication, talking with God. We have praise, which is extolling God, telling him how great he is. There's confession, which is admitting to God what we have done. These are all parts of prayer. There's intercession, which is asking God to do something on behalf of someone else. There's petition, which is asking God to do something on our behalf. There's thanksgiving, which is thanking God. There's meditation, dwelling on and thinking about God and his work. And there's listening. Listening for God's voice and communication to us. Prayer is very important. Prayer. Most of us can probably tell of at least one frightening circumstance, near collision or near death experience, where we threw up a quick prayer to heaven because we realize we need help. There are 667 prayers recorded in the Bible and 454 answers to prayer. We're not going to look at all 667 prayers today. Just one. And the answer. Today, prayer interrupted. How intercession or intercessory prayer interrupted a circumstance, much to everyone's surprise. Prayer interrupted. Let's look at it. It's one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, Acts 12, as we continue in the book of Acts. Acts 12, we're going to read 1 to 19 as we look at prayer interrupted. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." So Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches, from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept on insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had made a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. There was a crisis in the Jerusalem church. James, the brother of John, had been executed, and Peter was the next target. The church quickly realized that they were helpless to do anything, so they did what we all do when we realize we're helpless. They prayed. Okay? We're out of options. We got to pray. Now is when they desperately needed this resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So they go to their knees in intercessory prayer. I want to start with intercessory prayer. What is intercessory prayer? What is it? Intercede comes from two Latin words, inter, which means between, among, and involved, and sedere, which is to go, to yield, and to move, meaning to go between, to yield, among, to move in direction, or get involved. to get involved, to move something. Intercession is paying the price of being involved. To intercede is to plead or make a request for someone else in God's presence. Intercessory prayers, talking with God or moving into His presence, seeking His face to plead with Him on behalf of somebody else. That's what the church was doing for Peter. Why? Why should we intercede? A crisis. There's a crisis intervention. When people are in over their heads, circumstances beyond their control. And of course, in this story, we discover Peter had been arrested and put in jail. He had tight security. It says he was guarded by a Roman guard. Now, a Roman guard, these guys are the best soldiers in the world then. They were the special forces, Navy SEALs of that day. These were the top soldiers they had. There were four squads of four soldiers. A Roman guard, when we study what the Roman guard was, a Roman guard was 16 soldiers, four fours. And they were trained, if needed, to fight with a short sword and a shield. And they would surround somebody they were protecting behind them. They would face out. And they could literally hold off an entire army indefinitely. 16 soldiers guarding one person. I mean, we're talking highly trained, experienced soldiers. When they say it was a Roman guard, we're talking great guys. Okay? Now, he had four squads of four soldiers each. It was 16 to 1. Okay? Two chained to Peter, one on each side, two outside his cell door, and the rest kept watch of the door in rotated positions. And the penalty for falling asleep or letting a prisoner escape was death, period. And we're talking the most secure prisoner ever, anywhere. Herod probably took such precautions because Peter had escaped from jail once. They still didn't know how he got out, but he got out. So, faced with impossible circumstances, why do you pray? Why do we intercede in prayer? Remember, intercession is for somebody else. Yeah, we should pray for ourselves, but intercessory prayer is for others. Others in impossible situations. When it's life and death, health issues, physical problems, addictions, difficult marriages, challenges with children, or teens in rebellion, people blinded, obsession with pleasure. When we look at impossible situations, we think about our country, praying for our country. Keep praying. Why intercede? Augustine said this, without God, we cannot. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Say that again. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. He's waiting for His people to pray and intercede. So who is supposed to intercede? Who's supposed to intercede? Who prayed and intercede? The heads of the denomination, right? Weren't they the apostles, the pastors and elders? No, I'm sure they were praying too, but it says that the church was praying. The church, God's people, the church, they were praying in intercession. God's people, just like you, just like me, young and old, brand new believers, mature Christians, the church, God calls all of us, the church, to intercede. How are they to intercede? How are we to pray? How do we know how to pray? How do we intercede? What do we ask for? In this circumstance, the prayer was obvious. Let Peter go. Deliver Peter. Help us. How should we pray when we have circumstances? What are some guidelines? First of all, listen to God. Listen to God. Sometimes we're too busy talking that we don't listen. How many of you have had at least one friend in your life that they're so busy talking, you never get a word in edgewise, okay? Yeah, we've got that. Sometimes we approach God, we just talk so much, we never stop to listen to God. Sometimes we don't know exactly what to pray, so we offer some vague prayer, thy will be done, thy will be done. Let me just say, now, thy will be done is good to be part of the prayer. Sometimes it's Christian fatalism. God's going to do what He wants to do. Just, God, do Your will. Thy will be done. If it be your will, heal this person. If it be your will, provide. If it be your will, blah, blah. You know, we need to find out what the will of God is. We need to listen to God and ask Him. If we're praying, thy will be done, ask God and listen and find out what His will is. And of course, in personal circumstances, many times we have to go to the Word and say, what would God say about this circumstance in the Word? Find out, what does God say? And then sometimes we're not sure because it's not specifically spelled out in Scripture, so we have to ask God, what is your will? Be specific. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven denotes specific things. Specific things. Listen to God, or spend more time listening to what God wants than asking. And in that process, we need to stay informed. When it comes to intercession for our country, we need to read, we need to watch, we need to stay informed as to the issues so that we know how to pray. Listen to God. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 talks about strongholds. It talks about arguments. It talks about pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Now, I don't know if you ever experienced confusion when praying. You're not alone. Listen. Listen to God. Seek God first. Getting ready to pray. Secondly, ask expectantly. Expect God to answer. It's like this new concept that God answers prayer. Expectancy. Sometimes we ask God like He's a reluctant father. He just hates to do it. I go to Him in prayer and He says, oh no, here comes Mark again. You know, you came to me last week. What are you doing here? I mean, it's like we think He's a reluctant father that doesn't want to answer or hear our requests or prayers. That's not what our Father's like. Expectancy. Ask expectantly. And then ask boldly. It says in verse 5, the church was earnestly praying to God. Fervent, earnest. The word earnest comes from ektaino. Ektaino. It's a Greek word to stretch out enthusiastically. When our daughters were in junior high and high school, they participated in track. I've been to more track meets than anybody that I know. You go to track meets, and one of the things that I noticed, because sometimes I'd run time or whatever, but I watched a lot of races. And one thing I always noticed, that there were competitors that ran all out. There were kind of the lopers, you know, they kind of taking their time to get to the finish line. And then there were the ones that ran out full stretch, and you could tell they were there. Everything inside of them was trying to win that race. That is the word ektaino. It's praying all out. Earnestly, ektaino. Praying earnestly. There is full out that we're praying. And that's a kind of prayer that he's talking about. There's an urgency, a fervency, and a boldness. The people praying for Peter knew the time was now. It was either deliverance or death. They knew that was it. Says the church was earnestly, full out, praying to God for him. How to pray? Then trust completely. Trust completely. You know, here's the role of faith. We can't always see what God's doing. The church is praying at Mary's home. God is at work miles away in the prison. We have to trust that we pray. It doesn't matter where we pray. It'll carry out God's will, where He is. When we pray for someone, we can't always see what God's doing. We have to trust that God is at work. We have to trust that God is doing something special. God is at work. We pray here in Eau Claire, and God answers it in Albania. We pray in Eau Claire, God answers it in Honduras or China or Scottsdale or New York or Washington, D.C. Trust completely. Believe that God hears, and He is at work. And who do we pray to? God. God of the universe, who has promised us access to the throne of grace in our time of need. He says, you have supernatural access to me. to me. If you got a problem somewhere, you need access to a leader, political leader, or a judge, or you need access, it's kind of hard to get there. We have direct access immediately to the God of the universe. It says it's his throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Confidence. When circumstances are beyond our power, we reach beyond ourselves to God, the God of the universe, who hears and he answers. Now, the power is not resident in our prayer. The power is resident in God, who answers the prayer. You've seen the old movies where they want to blow something up and they plant dynamite and they run a wire to the other end, and then they put it on something and then, boom, they set off the dynamite. The wire connects to the dynamite. The power isn't in the wire. Power is in the dynamite. When we think about prayer, prayer is the connection to the dynamite. Prayer is the connection to God. God releases his power on our behalf when we pray. Our prayer, it's not our power, it's God's power. Without prayer and the wire, there's no connection, there's no explosion. Prayer is the wire, the communication link that releases God's power. Connect to God. Again, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Now, intercessory prayer here becomes interrupting prayer, as it intervenes in the lives of people. What does interrupting prayer do? What does it accomplish? What difference does it make? First of all, it changes circumstances. You know, we can pray for changed circumstances. For Peter, the circumstances changed dramatically. It's interesting to note, Peter was sound asleep. Okay, he's going to be executed in the morning. He's totally out. He's sleeping. Deep sleep. So much so that the light of the angel didn't wake him up. He had to hit him. Wake up. Okay? You wonder how much Peter was in faith saying, oh, I'm just going to get a good night's sleep. He wasn't worried about it. Sometimes God has to wake us up to get our attention before he can set us free. Maybe it's freedom from sin or temptation or habit or disruptive pact behavior. Maybe he wants to set us free from unbelief or lack of faith. Change circumstances. And then God removes us or frees us from where we are or how we are incarcerated. God wants to set us free. And God is able to change any circumstance. It's worth noting that God chose a different result for Peter than James. Okay? In God's sovereignty, for whatever reason, James was executed and Peter was set free. Why are some spared circumstances and others not? Only God can answer that question. Only God can. What circumstances are you dealing with right now that needs changing? Prayer can change circumstances. But sometimes, instead of changing circumstances, prayer changes people. So we have interrupting prayer that changes people. Changes us in and through circumstances. Some are healed, some die of cancer. Peter lived, James died. Only God knows. We may not know, but we always are to pray. Always. Intercessory prayer. Interrupting prayer. Thirdly, God changes history. God changes history. Whole nations have been changed because of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. In the Old Testament, we read about the nation of Judah, and they experienced revival and change as a result of prayer. They prayed, and God changed the entire nation. Well, that happens today, too. In 1904 to 1905, there was a revival in Wales. There were people that prayed, and God sent a revival. Now, if you haven't lived in a revival, we're hearing about some of those college campuses. God's doing some incredible things. And now, we've got all kinds of demonstrations happening too, but there's also a revival happening on campuses around this country. You don't hear about it all the time, but God is doing some great things. Quinton was telling me about one the other day. God's doing revival, and we're praying for it to happen at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Revival. In 1905, Wales was changed. The entire country was changed in response to prayer, and it spread to Britain, Scandinavia, Europe, North America, India, Africa, and Latin America. It spread over a huge portion of the globe. And in Wales, because everybody was so changed, they didn't have any crime. They had no crime anywhere. And the police had nothing to do. And there's reports that show that they wanted to do something. So a news reporter interviewed a police officer and asked him what the police do now that there's no crime. He said, "What do you do? There's no crime. Nobody's breaking the law." And he said, well, the police officer said, well, we go to where the crowds are, which are the church meetings. And he said, we formed quartets to do special music at church services. So if the church needs a quartet, they call the police department. Serious, this is historically true. I can just see it now. 911, what are you reporting? We need special music for Friday night. Can you send us a quartet? That's what it was. No crime. There was so much societal transformation in Wales. I had the opportunity to travel to the Isle of Lewis, which is part of Scotland, and interviewed people that experienced the Hebrides Island revival in 1949 to 1953. And they talked about the fact that a canopy of God consciousness covered the entire island. A canopy of God consciousness. The entire island was transformed. And it was in response to prayer, intercessory prayer. Revival. Changed history. We've seen this happen more recently. Philippines, Romania, South Africa, all kinds of places. God answers prayer. Let's go back to our story. Let's look at answered prayer. Answered prayer. The intercessors in this story have a delightful surprise. Rhoda's excitement at hearing Peter's voice makes her forget to open the doors to let him in. A classic, classic. And these great intercessors of faith inside the home cannot believe that the answer to their prayers is standing outside the door knocking. Okay. Now, before we're too hard on them, realize that they were at least praying. Okay. They didn't believe when it was answered, but they were praying. They were interceding. And it said, the message says, finally they opened up and saw him and went wild. That's in the version. It's amazing. In Matthew 6:8, it says, your father knows what you need before you ask. Prayer interrupted. Their prayer was interrupted by the answer. Ordinary people who pray fervently to God will see his miraculous intervention in circumstances beyond their control. It answers in spite of fallible faith, in spite of the faith. So how does God answer prayer? How does God answer prayer? He really gives three answers. First one is, you pray, says yes. I love it when God says yes. He says yes. Sometimes God says no. I'm not crazy when I pray and he says no. Sometimes he says, wait. Wait. It's not a no. It's not a yes. It's a wait. He says yes. He says no. And he says wait. I want to leave you with one final thought, a principle to remember and practice as we all pray. It's called the push principle. Push principle. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up. Pray for years, sometimes praying for minutes. What do we pray? This Thursday is our National Day of Prayer. We're going to open up the sanctuary from 10 to 2 if you want to come and pray. But I just want to encourage you to take time Thursday, every day, but especially Thursday, to pray for our country. We have so many issues that we're looking at, complex issues, and nobody seems to know all the answers. That's okay. That's okay. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer. And I'd like us to pray right now. Father, we thank you that you have given us an example of answered prayer. Impossible circumstance and confusion, how do we pray? And Father, we don't confess or profess to know all of the answers or even how to pray, but you can teach us how to pray. And I pray, God, as we lay before you not only this congregation and the people in this church, but our nation, which desperately needs answers to prayer. I pray that you would make us a people of God who ask you, how do we pray? And then actually pray. We still believe that as we enter the potentially end times and could be the next 1,000 years, we don't know. But we know that you are going to send a great awakening through the world. And we want to be part of that. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us insight and understanding and the fervency and vision to pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name.